Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 16. John, chapter 16. We'll read verses 7 through 12 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 16, verses 7 through 12. John, chapter 16, verses 7 through 12. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot now. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Thank you for your presence here. Father, we're still a needy people. We're a sinful people. And God, we stand in need of you and your truth today. Fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Lord, please, may we walk out of here differently and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I'm going to ask that you give your attention to the sermon on purpose. Though I will illustrate time and time again, if you will, for no other reason, for my sake, listen carefully to what's taught. I want so much to get something across to you, but I'm going to need your help. You know, teaching is a bit dependent on the student. And so if you'll please listen. I want to help you. Today, I want to praise God for His goodness to the children of men. God is so good to us, we don't even recognize it. God is so smart, we have no concept. Our God is so brilliant. It is just amazing. You know, God always knows what we need. And that's not it only. Not only does He know what we need, He knows how to give it to us. God gives man what man needs, and in a way, man can handle it. God is the ultimate leader, and God, you know, when we talk about Him being our Heavenly Father, He's the ultimate dad. He's just got it together on every front. In this morning's sermon, I want to brag on God's thoughtfulness toward His children. I'm going to show you why, and this thing's probably not going the exact direction you think it is, but if you listen today, I'll show you something about God's awesome ability to give to you and I what we need, but not only what we need, He can give it to us the way we need it. In John chapter 16, you read together earlier, verses 7 through 12, I'll bring your attention again to verse number 12, where it says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Now, I want to talk to you about how God patiently grows us and teaches us. Here in John 16, you see Jesus is promising the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Jesus was alive on the face of the earth at that time. He was about to go to heaven. Soon He would be crucified and He would be leaving and going to heaven. When that happened, I want us to listen real carefully. Children, if there are children in here and they're the proper age, let's just pay real close attention here. Jesus was about to go to heaven. And Jesus meets the disciples and He says to them, He said, now listen, I'm promising you that when I leave, I'm going to leave behind the person of the Holy Spirit. I'll leave Him here to help you. Now, He then makes a very, very interesting statement. He says, Jesus said to the disciples, He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them. Notice, He said, I've got a lot more to give you. I have a lot more that I want to teach you, but I can't give it to you all at once. That's what He told them. He had much more that He wanted them to receive, but they were not ready to receive it. They were not up to receiving it. They were not prepared to receive it. Now, was there a lack in regard to what Jesus had to give them? Oh, no. He had so much to give them, they couldn't even calculate it all, but he knew that they were not ready to receive what he had to give them. I love this little story. When I get a head cold, I grew up and we used a thing called contact, or contact, C-O-N-T-A-C. It's for a cold, a head cold. And each capsule there, it helps you with your head cold. And they call it time-released contact. In the little capsule, there are all these little balls. They're little balls of the contact medicine. Each little ball is wrapped in various degrees of thickness. That's so they dissolve in your body in a planned time-released method. You see, one of those tiny little balls down inside that whole pill of contact, one of the balls is bigger than the other. That big ball of medicine is going to dissolve slower than the small ball of medicine, and they're wrapped specifically and scientifically, so they're dissolving in your body, and your body is getting the medicine in a slow process. Does that make sense to you? By the time one had lost its effectiveness, another was dissolving into usefulness and effectiveness. The process continues until all the medication is periodically put into your system and you're getting a good solid dose as you go along. That's why they call it time-released medicine. It's brilliant. The only thing is, God invented this time-released medicine long before a company like Contact did. That's the very process that God puts those of us that are saved through. Now, let me explain something. God saved you once and for all. That is an act. Salvation is an act. It is not a process. You're not in the process of being saved. You're either saved or you're not. If you're not saved, the act of salvation needs to take place by your placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and bang, all at one time, He saves you. So salvation is an act, but wait a minute. After you get saved, He then wants to put some wonderful things into your spiritual life. There begins the time-release process. Salvation is an act. Growth in the Lord is a process. You see, He does not put the whole dose of the needed spiritual medicine into you all at one time. He knows something. Might kill you. Look, those of you that are new in the Christian life, if God told you every single thing He wanted out of you for the rest of your life, you're liable to fall over dead with a heart attack and say, there's no way. So God said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a little at a time so you can grow a little at a time, and I'm going to medicate you spiritually to get rid of your disease a little at a time. That's how God grows people. I got to thinking about it. Actually, I'll give credit where credit is due. I was so excited about my sermon, I started telling Mrs. Owens about it so she could fiddle with my sermon. She's the only person that'll ever get away with fiddling with my sermons. You know, when we vote on buying a building or something, you get one vote. Because this is a congregation. You get no votes about what I preach and how I handle it. You get no votes. Dictatorship about what I preach, okay? But this morning, I opened myself up to Mrs. Owens, and I told her, I said, honey, I'm so excited. I told her about this. She said, you know what, honey? They have a new air freshener, or they have new air fresheners that are time-released. This is an time-released air freshener. And I didn't know how to program it. I wasn't smart enough. But this little jewel, you push a button here, and this stinky or good-smelling stuff comes out of it. All right. Well, that thing right there, you program it, and what it does, it sprays its little scent as you have programmed it. You don't get one shot in the morning, and that's it. You don't even have to go by and push the button like I just did. It will push the button itself. I'm going to leave this here. I don't know if it's going to work. It may go off in the middle of my sermon, but if it does, it's because the people on the front row smell bad. It has a sensor in it. These young men right here, it has a sensor in it. If you set it down and it goes off, it means that probably something smells bad in the area that it's pointing. But what that thing does, it goes off by itself throughout the day. You program it, and it sends an aroma, it sends a scent into the air a little at a time. Now, I want you to remember something. God does not put into us everything that He wants out of us right away.
Because, and you say, why? Now, he would like to, but he said there in John 16:12, but ye cannot bear them. God knew you could not bear everything, so he said, I'm going to give you a time release. I'm going to use like this air wick scent freshener, and I'm going to shoot into you by my spirit the things you need in little portions. So God, in an effort to grow us at the rate that we can handle, he releases, in a time-release fashion, our blessings and our growth. That's the title of this morning's sermon. Time-released blessings. See, God grows us at a rate that we can bear. Now, see, folks, let me explain something to you. The holdup is not God. The holdup is you and me. God has everything. God will not withhold anything from you that you can handle. But the problem is not that God is being sent here withholding something from you that's good for you. The problem is he doesn't think you can bear it. He's not sure what you'd do with it. You might misuse it. And God said, I'm going to squirt the blessing of God into your life in a strategic fashion so that you grow. That's why we have kindergarten, and then we have first grade, and then we have second grade, and then we have third grade. Why don't we throw them all in one room? We'll just teach everybody everything they're supposed to know in a year. We know better.
Right.
We have time-released education. You get a little at a time, and a little. Does that mean that that teacher couldn't teach you a whole lot more? No, every teacher wants to teach you a whole lot more. But every teacher knows that if the student does not bear it, then we are giving information that's going nowhere.
Right.
God never overloads us, but always at a rate he knows we can bear. He has unlimited opportunity for us, but it's made available at a rate that we can bear. Now let me talk to you about that very thought if I could. First of all, why? Why in the world does God practice this truth of time-release blessings? I'll tell you why. Because he loves us. He loves us. He wants to be of a help to us. You see, you have to remember, he is our creator. And God knows the way that he created us. God knows that it is difficult for man to respond to the same stimulus, especially for long seasons of time. You know how, if you hear it, sometimes it wears on you, you're not even hearing it anymore. Because of man's sinful, flawed character, it's hard for man to be consistent. You see, when we were saved, God knew that he would need to practice some time-release growth for our sakes. He loves us. He created us. He knows that the same stimulus is not... We don't grab a hold of something and just hang on to it forever. You notice something? You so many times, I so many times, preach some of the same truths over and over again. You say, why? Somebody got it the first time. Somebody else didn't get it the first time. So I've got to come around and teach. There's somebody that should have got it the first time, and they didn't get it the first time, so I've got to preach it again. And the Christian life, there's nothing new under the sun. When you start hearing somebody teaching some weird doctrine that you've never heard before, your antenna better go up, and you better say, what? What? No, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. It is the repetition of the old, over and over and over again. But wait a minute, not everybody received that portion of the old, maybe when they should have, or maybe... Did you see that thing? It's on to you, fellas. Not everybody received at the same rate. When he saved us, he knew he would need to practice some time-release growth, in part because he knew how he created us. Let me read a verse to you. Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Here, at salvation, God said, you're now saved and act. I'm willing to start a process, but I want to give you all things. See, at salvation, we have access to all things. However, the all things are not all discovered all at one time.
Right.
In the course of your Christian life, he wants to make available to you all things. But you're not going to get the whole truckload all today. See, he practices this time-release growth with blessings so that we can discover little jewels of his goodness on our pathway in life. He does this to help a weak man sustain his joy in life. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Psalm 51:12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, or thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I want you to notice something here. Here the Bible says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Notice somebody had lost their joy, and they wanted to regain their joy. That's a good thing. God didn't give them a dose of joy and say that this dose has to last you for the rest of your life. God said, I'm going to come along and I'm going to give you little dabs of joy all along the way because I know how you are. If I gave it all to you at one time, you'd use it up, abuse it, you would forget about it, you'd let it become commonplace. He said, I know how you are, so I'm going to give you a little shot all along the way. That little joy that keeps our life going. That little instruction that keeps our life going. God giving us little jewels of joy all along the way. These are time-release blessings that sustain us for ongoing joy. See, God wants Christians to daily have joy. I'll say this later. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You say, how can I do that? God is constantly releasing some things into your life that ought to create daily joy. You, as Christians, we're supposed to have joy. Even in the difficult times, we are supposed to have joy. You say, why? Well, first of all, that's best for you. But secondly, that's best for your testimony among the lost. His time release method, and he uses this time release method to help you and I sustain our joy in life. So, why in the world does God practice this idea of that scent being released into our life a little at a time? Because He loves us. He knows us. He knows that if He gives us all of something other than salvation, if He gives us all of something all at once, before long it'll be old hat to us. So He releases into our life a little at a time. Now let me show you some of those things. Number two, he practices time-release scriptural knowledge.
Right.
2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice that. Grow in grace. What's that mean? It's talking about growth. Grow in the grace and knowledge. There's knowledge. God comes along and said, I'm going to give you a little knowledge about the Bible. Then I'm going to give you a little more. Later on, I'm going to give you a little more. Now, was it all available the day you got saved? Yes, it was. What was the problem? Ye were not able to bear it. Does that mean He's not going to give it to you? No, it's all available. He wants you to get it, and He releases a little at a time because He knows that's how we're going to grow. When we first get saved, we're excited. And this part of the sermon about knowledge. We're excited. Hey, when you first get saved, you're all excited about that initial knowledge of, I get to go to heaven. John 14:2. I get to go to heaven. I got saved. I found something in the Bible. Saved people get to go to heaven. And you say, yes, amen. I get to go to heaven. And then someone says, guess what? You don't have to go to hell. John 3:18. What knowledge? I'm saved. And God comes along and He gives you some knowledge. He gives you the knowledge that you get to go to heaven. He gives you the knowledge that you don't have to go to hell. But let me tell you something. If you're not careful, if that's the only thing you know, you may not stay happy about that for long. You and I ought to be just as excited today that we get to go to heaven as we used to be. We ought to be just as excited today that we don't have to go to hell as we used to be. But most of the time, we're more excited about it right after we get it. But here's what God does. God said, I know that probably won't keep you going forever. So He comes along and said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to squirt some knowledge into you every once in a while, and I'm going to keep feeding you with knowledge that will make you happy, that will grow you. And if you say, well, I want it all, He'll give it to you as you can bear it. He'll give it to you. There is much more that you receive as a result of your salvation than the knowledge of not going to hell and going to heaven. But wait a minute, that's enough at first.
Yes, sir.
One year at Christmas, I bought Mrs. Owens some gifts. Well, one particular gift, I remember getting it, I wrapped it. It was in a very small package. Then I put that package in another box and I wrapped it. Then I put that package in another box and I wrapped it. Then I put that package in another box and I wrapped it. 5 times I wrapped boxes that contained that initial gift. You know something? She, and I'm such a good wrapper. I wrapped that up. I gave it to her. She opened one. And then another. And she unwrapped another. And she unwrapped another. We got all the way down. You know, there was a certain thrill to the unwrapping of every level. Now, she received the whole gift. It was just it was one gift, but there were different levels of excitement about it. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, it's an act. But I'll tell you, God begins a process in your life. And as you go through, as you just keep unwrapping the gifts of the knowledge of God and the gifts of what God's done for you, because you're saved, it gets exciting. And then, wow! Hey, and wait until you get to heaven and we find out what it was really all about. You're going to say, hey, there's the bullseye. That's what I've been looking for. That's how God practices the release of Bible knowledge into our lives. You see, you got saved and said, I'm not going to hell. Amen. And you're excited about that. That's Bible knowledge. Then you get saved and you say, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, that's great. Hey, that's wonderful. Then, one day, the preacher got up. He'd been preaching about the fullness of the Holy Spirit all along. He'd been preaching about it when you were rejoicing about not going to hell, when you were rejoicing about going to heaven, but you were so excited about those initial things, you weren't even catching the fact the preacher had been saying, guess what happened? When you got saved, the person of the Holy Spirit of God came to live down inside you. He's there, and you can experience the fullness of His guidance and the fullness of His comfort. You have the Holy Spirit living inside you. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden, a light switch flipped on for you one day in church, and you said, wow, I can be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, wait a minute. Could have you been filled with the Spirit of God way back yonder? Sure could have been. Ye were not able to bear it. And the truth that you had about not going to hell and going to heaven, that was pretty sustainable. And that was tripping your trigger. I mean, you were doing okay. That aroma, that sweetness that God was squirting into your life was fine. But He came along and He said, you know what, I'm going to give you something else. And He did. Then you found out God answers prayer.
Yeah.
You said, oh, wow, I didn't realize that. Has God always answered prayer?
Uh-huh.
Has God been wanting you to know He answered prayer all along?
Uh-huh.
Was God withholding something from you?
Uh-huh.
He said, you can't bear it. I'm going to squirt these things into your life. I'm going to squirt the knowledge of scriptural behavior into your life as you can bear it. Then you found out there's a thing called wisdom. That's different than just knowledge. There's something about being able to see light and see the Scripture through the eyes of God. And God came along and about that time, you know, that salvation and heaven and hell and that wore a little old on you and this thing of the Holy Spirit or answered prayer, wasn't it exciting to you? And God came along and He squirted into your life and said, I'm going to get you something new to play with. I'm going to get you something new to grow you. Wisdom. God's method of time-release knowledge keeps us thrilled with His Word. I wondered as a young preacher boy, there you go, fellas, it knows you're stinky. As a young preacher boy, started preaching when I was 16 years of age. I'm 49 now. I've been preaching over 30 years. And I'll be honest, I remember back, I thought, what am I going to do once I preach up the whole book? Can I tell you something? After all these years, I've not even scratched the surface. I'm so excited to preach this truth this morning, I'm about ready to burst. I can't wait to get to the next couple of points. And you know, back then when I was a kid, I thought, what's going to happen when it wears old? What's going to happen when I'm preaching on? I mean, people have been preaching it for years and years and years. How in the world are we going to keep the people's attention? They've been saved in 60 years. God comes along and said, don't you worry about that. I'm going to squirt it in there. Time release. They're going to stay hungry. Is that because God's trying to starve you? No. It's because He cannot bear it. So He releases it in little shots. He does that to keep you happy. He does that to keep your joy up in the Christian life. He does that because He loves you. He does that with scriptural knowledge. There's something else He does that with. He does that with our faith. With our faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it were meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. There's the growth of our faith. Now, are we allowed to have all the faith that we want the minute we get saved? You sure can. But you won't use it. And you really don't want it. And you won't practice it. God said, I'll make all of it available to you that you can bear. But He's going to squirt opportunities of faith into our life, a little shot at a time. See, at salvation, we took the faith that we had and placed it in Jesus Christ as our Savior. This salvation started then a time-released increase of faith. Salvation faith was first. Then we exercise faith. You know, here's what happened. You trusted Jesus Christ by faith and you got saved. Your first act of faith. Then God said, I'm going to squirt something else in there. You need to follow the Lord and believe in baptism. Very simple step. Then he said, I'll squirt something else in there. Church membership. One step at a time. One step at a time. He increased our faith. Then we, by faith, begin to learn to trust the Bible as God's Word. And it is to be the compass of our everyday life. You see, there are some people that start out and say, okay, I'll obey the Bible for salvation, but they had no intention of obeying it for anything else. I want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I'll put my faith in Jesus, take me to heaven. Had no intention of doing anything else. Then God came along and said, let me give you something else. Get baptized. All right, I'll get baptized, but I have no intention of doing anything else. God came along and said, you need to join the church. I'll do that, but I'm not going to do anything else. Now you need to come to church on a regular basis. And God squirts it in there as ye are able to bear it. Say, can I have the whole dose? Yes, you can, but most people don't want it. God will give you all that ye can bear. We, by faith, then learn to trust that the Bible is to be our guide. We're not to just live for God on the church property. We're to live for God off the church property. Our faith grew. What happened? In a time-release fashion. At each level of our Christian growth, God releases the availability of other doses of faith into our life. You remember those pills? The contact pill? Each one rolled into a different size of medicine, and they're dissolving a little at a time. Why? Meeting the spiritual need, or meeting the physical need in that aspect, as the body needs it, as you spiritually need it. God is releasing all these wonderful spiritual medicines into your life. The thing of faith, He releases it as you can bear it and as you need it. Later, you choose to use your faith to tithe. There's a squirt. Then you move even beyond that and you get beyond your tithe. Time release faith keeps our Christian lives exciting and challenging. I love the way God planned this for us. God planned some fun along the way. You see, at first, the faith that you had, you used it to come to church or to come to Sunday school maybe. Later on, you needed an increase in your faith. What for? So you become a Sunday school teacher. Another release. I'd go sit in Sunday school. Took some faith to come to Sunday school. You weren't used to it, but God said, I'll come along later on. I'm going to put a dose in you. I'm hoping that you'll become a Sunday school teacher someday. Say, that's big faith. Right. You see, you had to start out with faith just to show up in Sunday school. But you're not to remain at that level of faith. You're to be growing in your faith. So there ought to be something happening inside you that makes you want to step up and grow in your faith. You say, I don't feel like that. Maybe the opportunity is available to you, but you're not willing to bear it.
Right.
Let's go on. At first, there's a faith to be a bus worker. Later on, I think God wants to release a faith into your life to become a bus captain, maybe. At first, faith to come and sing in a congregation. You know, there's some people, they come to church, they'll sit in a congregation, first time they won't sing a lick. They don't even pick up a song, but they just stand there and look at you like a bump on a log. Then somehow God gets a hold of them and they think, I ought to sing with these people. So they step up, and I don't know, maybe it is that they have to exercise faith to sing out while they're in the congregation because they sound so bad. That may be the case. We were talking about our choir and a choir member or finding a certain choir member to sing a certain part. We were talking about it, Brother Nash and I, the other day. And I said, Brother Nash, does so-and-so sing? He said, oh, no. Oh, no. Well, and that's, I'm sad for you that you are oh, no. They don't sing very well. What are you laughing about, Evan Barnes? It was you we were talking about. But you know something? Somebody comes to church and at first they don't sing at all. Then they step out by faith and they decide, I need to participate in the congregational singing. But let me explain something to you. God then later on may release a confidence that you might set in the choir. It might be that someday God will release a confidence to somebody that sings in the choir that they could be in the special music program and sing a solo. But if I said to the guy that's never one time even sang during the congregational singing, tonight, you're going to sing a solo. He would drop over dead. You say, I don't even sing in the congregation when they sing. What's God doing? Time release faith. So you grow a little here and a little there. That's how God's done it. At first, you had the faith to hand out a gospel tract. Later on, you learn how to verbally win someone to Jesus Christ. At first, you had the faith to get baptized. Now, God says, I'm going to release some faith into your life. I want you to go get one of your converts baptized. What is it? It is time-released faith. It is time-released scriptural knowledge. There's time-released mercy in our lives. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What great mercy you and I receive. What a great mercy we received because we got saved. And most people, their first understanding of mercy was the fact that we deserved to go to hell. God saved us and was merciful, and He made it so we didn't have to go to hell, and we get to go to heaven, and we say, wow, I'm enamored. Wow, that's exciting. Wow, that's incredible. I don't have to go to hell. I want to just praise God for His mercy. But wait a minute, it wears off if you're not careful. So God said, I'll come along and release another bit of that aroma of mercy. The Bible says He released His mercies are new every morning. Every morning. What great mercy we receive. At first we see His mercy, not sending us to hell, letting us go to heaven, and we say, that's enough. And at first that's almost enough to satisfy us. That's about all we can take. That's about all we can understand. But time progresses, and then we begin to see God's time-release mercy. It becomes clearer and clearer in our lives. When our children were small, we've always taken family vacation, always. Ever since Mrs. Owens and I were married, we still do it to this day. We took them, I remember taking them to a place that was called Cowboy Town. And it was a place that had all the rides and everything on it, and they had never been any place like that. We went in, we paid an entry fee to get in. And we went to the first ride, and there they looked at a ticket or something, and we went to that ride, and we got on the ride and had some fun. We went from that ride to another ride. And one of the kids went to hand the person at the gate of the second ride the ticket or to show them their hand, and the man said, I don't need that anymore. You don't have to pay anymore. You paid one time at the gate. You get all the rides free. And one of my kids went, wow! Pay once, get it all. Let me explain something to you. Get saved. Jesus paid once. Everything He has is now available to us. We get every ride in the Christian life. You say, I want to ride them all right now. You're not ready. You're not ready. You ever had a three-year-old say, I want to get on that roller coaster? And mom's saying, no, you don't. You say, why? Because mom don't want to get on that roller coaster. But you see, it's a time release thing that God makes available to us. That's much like salvation. God in His mercy, He comes along and God said, I am going to release a truckload of mercy into your life. I am going to save you once and for all. I'm going to commit the act. But then what I'll do is I'll release your understanding and your knowledge of my mercy into your life. How often am I going to need it? God, I know you. I created you. I'm going to have to release it daily or you'll forget how good I am. I am. God, using His time relief method, keeps the mercy coming. We soon, you see, at first we say, wow, what mercy? I'm not going to hell. But tell you what, won't take long until you begin to understand, wonder how many catastrophes His mercy has helped you to avoid. Remember when you started examining He started looking at, you could have just been in a car accident. You could have just died. Your child could have just drowned. Then you begin to notice, oh my, I didn't only get a dose of mercy when I got saved, but look what God's done. And folks, let me tell you something. If His mercies are new every morning, you and I better be looking every day for another shot of God's mercy. You say, I've just been depressed for 10 days in a row. You must miss 10 days of mercy that God has interjected into your life because He salvaged you from something and He gave a shot of mercy into your life. And you could have said, well, you know, that's enough to make my day. I didn't have to be bummed out. He's been merciful to me the last 10 days in a row. That's how God sustains your joy. He knows what He's doing. God's using His time-release method, and that mercy just keeps coming. Then we see His mercy in our daily life, and we get a new dose. Hey, what is it? Our God's so good. Our God's so smart. I'm so glad that He did this for us. There's time-release growth in the Christian life. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. We're to grow thereby. God grows us into new levels of Christian maturity in a time-released fashion. Oh, some weeks ago, I took Mrs. Owens out on a date. It was an overnight date. We date on a regular basis. We didn't get married and forget about dating. We went out and I picked a little theme for the night. She didn't know about it. I picked the theme of strawberries. I had gone shopping. I had planned some things. All had to do with strawberries. I planned to give her something, strawberry, every 15, 20 minutes in the date. When she got into the truck, I had in the truck strawberry air fresheners. Looked like a tree, but it smelled like a strawberry. I had the little strawberry air freshener, so when she got in, I said, honey, the theme of the night is strawberries. And she went, it does smell like strawberries. Then I got her some strawberry lip gloss. It tasted really good. You say, you put lip gloss on? Well, it was by a process. But I got her some strawberry lip gloss. Then I found strawberry shampoo. And I gave that to her. But, you know, I didn't give it all to her at once. I had a little gift bag. It was right behind my seat of the truck. Every 20 minutes or so, I pulled out something strawberry. I got her some strawberry conditioner. And like every woman, she popped it open and went... And she said, oh, boy, that smells good. And then she licks them up. She said, it doesn't taste like strawberry. Now, I got her a strawberry-scented candle. I gave that to her about 20 minutes later. I found strawberry-flavored gum. I gave her some strawberry gum. Then I got her some strawberries that were dipped in chocolate. Oh, those were good. I gave those to her. I gave her some strawberry ice cream topping. You know what it was? Throughout the night, it was a time... released expression of love and date. Now, I could have handed her the whole bag at one time, but it wouldn't have been near as much fun. She would have received it, but we would have quickly put the bag away and forgot about it all. You understand what God does for us? God understands us. God allows us to grow continually that we can have a continual joy and a continual thrill in our Christian life. Salvation is the bag, complete bag full of all the gifts. All those strawberry things, that's salvation. But the growth opportunities will keep us challenged and moving forward. And you say, well, I want the whole bag. He'll give you any part of the bag that He knows you can bear. Yes. That you can bear. You say, I want more. You better be careful. Some of you are slapping God in the face. Right. It's not God's fault you don't get more. God makes it all available. Yes. So why don't I have it? Because of that attitude right there. Remember, so often the same stimulus wears thin on us. So God, in His goodness, gives us a time-release opportunity to keep our service and our joy fresh. When one discovery that brings joy in our salvation and in our life is diminished, there is another immediately available. then another, and then another, and then another, and then another. God knows how to keep us going. People that are not faithful have missed this concept. God is releasing into your life on a regular basis doses of what you need. He's doing it in a time release fashion. Our growth in Christ can stay exciting in Christ as long as we can bear it. Nobody's fully grown. If you're still alive, you should still be growing, because God has a time release fashion of just sending things into your life. You're to grow in your prayer life, are you? You're to grow in your giving. God never intended for us to give a base amount of 10%. That's it. That's it for the rest of our life. Never did. Never did. Now, the average person, they start out and give an offering. They give a nickel. They give a dollar. Then you're to grow past it. God squirts some faith and some Bible knowledge into you. Then you get to the tithe. Then you grow past it. Then you grow past that. That's how we're supposed to be growing.
Yes.
You're to grow in your soul winning. You're to grow in your ability to help others bear their burdens.
Yes.
Hey, listen, it's just like a newborn baby. You know, a newborn baby has all the body parts they need. They're just tiny. And when you get born again, you have everything you need to be a good Christian. You're just tiny. You say, how fast can I grow? As fast as you want. So why am I not getting more out of God? It's not Him. God said, I want you to have all things. He said, I'm looking into your heart, which your pastor can't see, and I'm looking into your heart, which your husband can't see. I'm looking into your heart, which your wife can't see. And God said, you can't bear it. Tell me something. Do you think God's really trying to keep us from going forward and doing something great for Him? He wants it. He's not the holdup.
Right.
He said, ye can't bear it. We get born again. We can begin to grow. Remember, salvation is an act, not a process. But salvation starts a process of growth that will be monitored at your rate of desire and submissiveness to grow. And you just start to grow. And God will squirt that into your life. And another dose. And another dose. Now, that's how the Lord helps us. You remember the verse in Philippians 4:4 that says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You say, nobody can do that. With this, they can. God commands a Christian to be full of joy. Even in difficult times. That doesn't mean we're happy we're under the gun, but we're happy about something. You say, what? Well, what was the dose that He squirted into your life this week? What was the mercy that was new this week? What was the Bible knowledge He gave you this week? What was the increased faith that He gave you this week? What was the growth that He gave you this week? You've got plenty to be happy about. Plenty. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We can keep rejoicing because there is always some new truth, new produced joy or knowledge or act of faith in our lives. God's so smart. He is so smart. It's incredible to me. Let me do this. I don't usually end a sermon like this in this fashion, but I'm going to give you some what I'd call just general observations about it. Let me apply this a little more practically down to where everybody gets it. And if you haven't gotten it thus far, it's just because you didn't want to get it. You were just so caught up in some personal issue that you're missing something that is a tremendous truth for your growth. I want to give you some general observations. Number one, everybody is a participant in God's time release program. Everybody. Do you think it's hard for you to grow because you know so much? You say, well, it's just hard for me to grow because I just know so much about God and the Bible. Huh. Sounds to me like there's a pride issue there. Because God has a total time release program for you, and you can go to any height that God says you're ready for. And if you're not going to that height, it is not God's fault. It's not somebody else's fault. It's your fault. So I said, everybody is in this, every one of us, me and you, every one of us are participants in the time release growth process, and yours is not based on mine, and mine is not based on yours. Mine is based on a program that God has. You say, what's the deciding factor? Me!
Yes, sir.
I can't make you grow any faster than what you want to grow.
Yeah, right.
And I can't stop you from growing. Secondly, everybody should be growing.
Yes, sir.
He said, well, those young people need to grow. You show me in the Bible where it leaves out the old people.
Right.
Not just young Christians are supposed to be growing. Every single person in this room is in the program. And if you stop growing, it's your fault. Somebody sold you a wooden nickel along the way and said, well, you're a seasoned, mature veteran now. You're still a child of God that is to be growing. Next, if you do not have joy, then you've missed a whole lot of the squirts of the time-release opportunities that God's put into your life. I said it earlier, but I'll say it again. There is so much that's released in our lives on a regular basis. You say, but I'm not happy about this one area. But you've got 10 other areas where God has released a dose of spiritual medicine and opportunity and love and kindness into your life. You're just not recognizing it. Next. God's time release program works on a daily basis. The Bible says in Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. You want a dose? You can get it daily. You want to grow? You can grow daily. 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 Well, we don't come to church for preaching every day. That means you better be getting you a dose at home. You better get out the growth book and let it grow you. Through His Scripture, you will receive a daily dose of what you need to do what? To take you up a notch. Every day. Up a notch. Up a notch. Up a notch. God every day expects to see you at the feeding trough so He can give you another squirt. That's what He wants. Another. God releases to every individual a big dose of benefits. As big a dose of benefits as you have proven to Him you will properly use. You get all the benefit. The day you got saved is just like the big package that I wrapped 5 different times for Mrs. Owens. She received the entire gift when I gave her the package. She unwrapped them as fast as she wanted to. And if I remember, it looked like she skipped over 2, and I don't know how she did. It got all the way into the inner package and had it unwrapped in a flash. She wanted it. Let me ask you something. How bad, the amen, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it, bus captain? How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it, Sunday school teacher? How bad do you want that blessing? How bad do you want to grow? How bad do you want to be used of God? Well, I just don't bypass God's way. How bad do you want it? You want it real bad? He'll give it to you. Everybody's holding me back. Nobody's holding you back with you. God releases to every individual a dose of the benefit at whatever level He can trust them with the benefit. Remember, but ye cannot bear them, He said. And who was Jesus talking to? A batch of very powerful men that ended up turning the world upside down for Christ. His inner circle, if you will, His disciples, that's who He told it to. He said, I've got so much to give you, you're not ready for it. You can't handle it. And so, I said this, everybody's a participant in God's time release program. I said, everybody should be growing. I said, if you don't have joy, then you have missed some time release opportunity that you ought to be rejoicing about because He gives them to you every day. I said that God's time release program works on a daily basis. I said, God releases to every individual a dose of His benefits based on the receiver. And then, we as Christians should help one another grow using God's method. Now, Sunday school teachers, let me tell you something. You grow your people carefully and cautiously. You teach the Bible to everybody, but as you're growing Christians, everybody grows at a different rate. Everybody receives at a different rate. And so all of us need to learn to be patient. You say, well, brother, what are these people out here? Oh, that's right. Well, ma'am, you have been in church for 25 years, and you have been under the gospel and the preaching for 25 years. Back off and give somebody a chance to grow. That ought to be knocked off. Well, there's an arrogance about you that God will knock off. But we grow and we handle one another cautiously because everybody is in the process. Let people grow. Let their faith grow. Let their knowledge grow. You get mad at me because I teach some simple truth like this. And you say, well, you ought to go deep in the world. Well, this is a little deeper than what you think it is anyway. But you ought to go deep in the word to help us teach people. I'm not a deeper lifer, but I'm going to tell you something. Every once in a while, the preacher needs to help the young converts to grow in the Lord. Let me go on. Don't sit still. See that, fellas? Squirting right towards you because you smell bad. Don't sit still. You're to be growing. There has been released into your life something recently. What was God trying to get out of you? What did He get out of you? Some of you are in neutral. Some of you grew to a point to punter down in the future and I'm not going anywhere else. You're missing something terribly. And I'll tell you this, the people that cause the most trouble in a church are the ones that have grown to a point and decided I'm not growing anymore. They set and they just start criticizing everything they don't like. But I'll guarantee you, somebody that keeps growing, they've got their hands full growing themselves, and they will grow out of their criticism as they grow in the Lord. But when you cease to grow, I promise you, suddenly you'll be sitting in the seat of the scornful. Everything you don't like, and how you do it different, how stupid the pastor is, don't sit still. Grow. Grow, Christian. Grow. Grow. You're supposed to be growing. Number next, don't go backwards. I just talked about some people grow to a point where they just sit still and say, I'm not going to grow anymore. Then there are some, they start quitting everything that they've grown up to. So then they start going backwards. They call that backsliding. Yes. Time release growth. Every bus captain here, your bus route, God will release to you opportunity as you prove to Him you can bear the success of the growth of your route. If you can't handle 15 kids on your bus route, why should God give you 30? But you get it together with 15 and you're doing right, and you get them saved and you're instructing them and they're growing and you're growing by it. God said, you know what, I'll release a little more success into your bus route. Hey, Sunday school teacher, time release blessing in your Sunday school class. If you can't handle 20, why should God give you 40? Right. The ministries of God, the youth ministry. You say, is growth available? Always. Good. What's the problem? Can you bear it? Hey, Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, growth is available.
Yes.
Can we bear it? Can we bear it? Can you bear it? Will you do your part? He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. I'll say this, we'll give an invitation and we'll be done. You know, one wonderful thing about this whole lesson is this, our God is so merciful. He also has time release, second chances, third chances, fourth chances. You know what that means? If the opportunity comes along and you don't bear it and you don't step up and grow, He'll come back around later on and give you another shot at it. And you and I as Christians ought to be willing to do the same thing. You said, I'm willing. Step up and prove you mean business. You get another shot. That's the way God is. Time released. Second chances. If you're here today and you've never been saved, salvation is an act. There is a time and a place when somebody gets saved. It is not a process. You have not been becoming saved. You're either saved or you're not. If you'd like to take care of that act today, it is done by simple faith, being placed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, realizing you're a sinner and you deserve to go to hell. And Jesus died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. And if you will respond to Him, ask Him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and save you, the act will take place. You'll be saved. And then the process will begin. You say, I'm so excited. If I got saved, I would grow. Oh, you can grow as fast as you want. You know something? as a pastor, I'll let you grow as fast as you want. You say, I want to go learn this and go learn that. We'll teach it to you as fast as you want. But you remember something. It's a growth in the Christian life and an act for salvation. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed.